Matthew chapter 5. And I'd like to move on. I'm sure that's not going to disappoint anybody here. I want to pick it up from verse 33. What we're looking at is, as Jesus is going through this, he's been pretty much just trying to give the picture. If you've heard that it was said, quoting something from the Old Testament and something from their law, and then coming back with, "But I say to you," and in each case, he drives it internally. See, one of the things about law is law can only deal with the externals. You know, it's kind of like when we were talking about divorce and someone asked, you know, well, could lust be one of the things that would be a legitimate thing to get divorced? Well, yeah, if you could prove it. But you can't prove that because it's on the inside. You know, law can only deal with the externals. And that's the whole point of Romans chapter 8, where he says what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. Law doesn't have any ability to deal with what's going on the inside. It only can deal with what the person does. You know, I mean, I realize that there's a, if you get into a communist nation, you could get arrested for thought crimes. But that's not exactly, I mean, you can't exactly prove what somebody's thinking. You know, you got to go with what they're doing. The law is only at work and it only deals with the externals. It only deals with what you do. So as Jesus lists these things off, these are all things that you do. Murder, adultery. Here he's going to be talking about making vows. Those are all things that you do. But what he's going to drive it to is what's going on the inside. Because you can look good, like the Pharisees, you can look good on the outside, but that doesn't mean anything for the inside. You know, and then on the flip side, you could look really bad on the outside, and that may not be a pure reflection, at least total reflection of the inside. It's a beginning. It does show maybe where it's at that point, but it doesn't show everything that's going on. So Jesus is trying to drive things and focus on the inside because, as he told the Pharisees and others in Matthew 23, if you clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, the outside becomes clean too. And so that's really, in this sermon, that's really what Jesus is focused on, what he's driving at, is driving things to the heart, driving things to what's going on inside. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, he says, "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.'" Let's go back and take a quick look at that. Go back to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19:12, he says, "And you shall not swear falsely by my name, so as to profane the name of the Lord, the name of your God. I am the Lord." Okay, so don't swear falsely by my name. Numbers chapter 30. And we're going to actually pick this up in verse 1. This is where I wanted to focus on. Talks some about the vows that they would make. Interesting things. Numbers chapter 30, starting from verse 1, says, "Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, saying, 'This is the word of the Lord. Sorry, this is the word which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Also, if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by an obligation in her father's house in her youth, and her father hears her vow and her obligation by which she has bound herself, and her father says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every obligation by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father should forbid her on the day he hears of it, none of her vows or obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father had forbidden her. However, if she should marry while under her vows or the rash statement of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day he hears of it, then her vows shall stand, and her obligations by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if on the day her husband hears of it, he forbids her, then he shall annul her vow which she is under in the rash statement of her lips by which she has bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. And then he goes on and talks about the vow of a widow and divorced woman and all that. Okay, but goes through and just talks about vows. And when someone would vow, they'd make a rash, and sometimes it's described as a rash statement. I will talk about that in a second. But they would, if someone actually vowed, and he says, here, it's by the name of the Lord. Jesus is going to talk a little bit in Matthew 5 about how they would swear by the temple, or they'd swear, actually they'd swear by the gold of the temple, I think. You know, and they'd swear by different things. And say, you know, I just to kind of prove that, yeah, they're going to do it. Now, once they made a vow, they were obligated to fulfill that vow, whatever it may be. They were obligated. Now, you had those few exceptions there where a daughter makes a vow and the father hears it, as soon as he hears about it, and goes, no, you can't do that. OK, well, then she's no longer bound by that. Her father is responsible. Or a wife makes a vow, or actually here it's a case where when the wife makes it and the husband first hears about it, he has, you know, at that point he can say no or yes. And if he doesn't say anything, then that's yes. And so then she's bound by it. And so, but the point is, when they would make a vow, then they were to fulfill that vow, whatever it would be. There was a judge by the name of Jephthah. Let's look back at that in the book of Judges. I've got to find it here real quick. Okay, Judges chapter 11. We're going to start from verse 29. And keep in mind, you get to the book of Hebrews 11, in the great list of men of faith, Jephthah's name is in there. He is described as a great man of faith. So check this out. Okay, verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah so that he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and he passed through Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he went on to the sons of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed give the sons of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the sons of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Okay, remember where it talked about rash statements? Whoever makes a vow or a rash statement, this would be a rash statement. Another example of one of those rash statements was Saul. King Saul, whenever he was the Philistines, Jonathan and his armor bearer kind of initiated a little conflict with the Philistines. And so then they're pursuing the Philistines, and Saul made the vow. He said, hey, if anybody eats before we finish this day out, before it's all done, then they will be put to death. Well, Jonathan didn't happen to be there at the time. And so he sees some honey along the way, eats it, feeling pretty good. And everybody said, oh, hey, your dad said we're not supposed to be doing that. And so Saul was actually ready to put Jonathan to death later on when he found out about it. Now, it was a stupid vow. It was a stupid thing to say. Sorry, we'll use scriptural terms. A rash statement. It was a rash statement, but Saul was still ready to abide by it. The people were the ones who prevented him from putting Jonathan to death. So, in this case, Jephthah makes a rash statement. Whatever, the first thing out of my house. Now, that may sound a little strange to you, because you only see people coming in and out of your house, or maybe dogs, dogs, cats, people. And in Bozeman, dogs are the equivalent of people, so at least to many. So, you know, that's usually what people see coming in and out of the houses. But if you've ever been in a third world type thing, which is, this would be very similar, the houses in Ghana are built kind of in what they call compound houses. And a lot of times they're built almost in a box form. You got all the rooms around the outside. You got an open courtyard many times. And then a doorway that heads in there. Now, animals tend to have free rein in that open courtyard. And so when, you know, I've seen some interesting things. I've seen chickens getting into the food as it was cooking there, and goats and other things. But in Ghana, you would have goats and sheep and pigs. And, well, okay, you didn't usually have pigs in there, but you did have goats, sheep, chickens. All those things could be in the house, what you would call the house. And we could be going in and out the door. So it's not quite as, you know, it's not quite as crazy as you might think, because he probably wasn't automatically assuming that it was going to be his daughter coming out. But nonetheless, that is what happened. Verse 32 says, "So Jephthah crossed over to the sons of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand, and he struck them with a very great slaughter from Aroer to the entrance of Minnith, 20 cities, and as far as Abel Karamim. So the sons of Ammon were subdued before the sons of Israel. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, behold, his daughter was coming out to meet him with tambourines and with dancing. Now she was his one and only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter." What was his vow? "Whatever, first thing out of the door of my house, I will offer up as a burnt offering." He did. His daughter came out. And you keep reading on. She goes off and she asks for some time to mourn her virginity or whatever. And she does that. And then verse 39 says, "And it came about at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did to her according to the vow which he had made. And she had no relations with the man. Thus it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went out yearly to commemorate the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in the year." Okay, so he did according to his vow, according to the vow which he had made. And the vow was not that she would not have relations with a man. The vow was that he would offer her as a burnt offering. You know, I've heard some people try to find some nice way around that and try to say, well, it was just that he kept her a virgin. No, his vow was that he was going to offer her up as a burnt offering, and he did. Because he had vowed it. And that was how serious they took a vow. If you say, this is what I'm going to do, and you take it as a vow, then you did it. No matter what the consequences of that were, no matter how rash the statement was when you made it, you did it. If you did it as a vow. Now, if you could just generally say things and it wouldn't be a big deal, but if you swore by the Lord, or you took a vow before the Lord to do that, then you did it, no matter what it was, no matter what the consequences were. Now, let's go back over to Matthew chapter 5 and see what Jesus has to say about this. Let's go from verse 33 again. "Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.' But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black." Okay, so he's talking about different things that they would do to make those vows, to take those oaths. You know, swearing by heaven, by it's the throne of God, by the earth, by Jerusalem, or even swearing by their head. Okay. He says, don't take an oath. Don't swear by any of those things. Instead, and he says, verse 37, "But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no, and anything beyond these is of evil." Let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Okay, now given what he's working on here about driving things inward, what Jesus is describing is the character of a person would be such that their yes is yes and their no is no. That they are so reliable that no matter what they, if they say they're going to do it, it doesn't have to be an oath. See, in their case it was, if you make an oath, fulfill it. If you swear by something, then you fulfill it. Now, that leaves a little out in the sense that if you don't swear by something, then you don't necessarily have to do it. Rain.
But the whole context of what was being discussed there was marriage and doing everything that it's the summary statement of what's predicated on here about
That's not it. I mean, prior to that, yes, he is talking about marriage, but prior to that, he was talking about murder. So unless you're going to link together murder and marriage, I don't think you can do it. Although sometimes that does get linked together, I'll give you that. And sometimes you may feel like that. But now, see, he's going through a whole list of things. And the thrust of it is the righteousness surpassing that of the Pharisees. He's talking about a different kind of righteousness, an internal righteousness. And so that's just another one of his things that he's listing off. Okay, so, but if you're swearing by something, you know, and that's the, you know, that what is it, the pinky swear or the, you know, the, let's see, what were the cross my heart and hope to die things as a little kid. I'm trying to think of all the things that we used to do. But, you know, you kind of have, you know, when we get older, we have much more mature swearing. It's called signatures. It's called signing forms, signing legal documents. You know, that's all that. It's still a swearing. It's still you're swearing and they're trying to do something to hold you to it. Now, the thrust that Jesus is having here is if you have a system that's set up where if you have it, notary. Thank you. You know, if you get to have something notarized, you know, I got the idea. They do that, you know. hey, at least I'm a whole lot better. When I first came back from Ghana, I could get the Ghana words in the head, you know, and couldn't get, I could get tree in my head, but I couldn't get the English. Now I just can't get the English. I don't have the tree there anymore either. But you get things notarized, you know, and somehow that's going to hold more weight than if you just said it. You know, and so what that allows for, you know, those of you who are in business, that allows for, you've got to make sure you've got all of your bases covered. You've got to make sure you got everything signed, everything that's done. I mean, Tom, you do this in your business, sign this. I know I've signed a whole bunch of things for Tom recently. You know, but you got to have yourself covered with written, you know, if it's got to be in writing, it's got to be, you know, and there's, I don't even know what the level of it is right now, but there's all kinds of things that you've got to do. You know, John and Judith, what they're doing, I'm sure they have tons of paperwork and they have tons of things that they've got to have. They've got to make sure every little thing is in order. Well, those are all things that are set up because of the lack of character of man. You know, I mean, I've heard stories. I can't say that I actually lived in the time when a handshake was a business deal, but I've heard stories about that. You know, yeah. At this point in time, a handshake might mean that, you know, they're shaking your hand and they got a knife in the other one getting ready to stab you in the back. You know, so you just, that's what he's working on here is, listen, in a system where, yes, you make a vow, that leaves you an out that if you're not specifically making a vow, then you don't have to do it. What Jesus is working on is your character should be such that just the words of your mouth, just if you say yes, that's enough. Now, obviously, we have to do those other things to satisfy everybody else. You know, that's one of the things. I had an incident here. I think I might have told you about it a few months ago where I had stopped down Blue Basket down there, got something, gave them $10 bill and got my change back. Wasn't quite thinking about what was going on and got my change back for $1. Or I think is what it was, you know, and so I was out about 10 bucks, nine. I realized it later on, called them up, talked to them about it. And they're saying, no, our till balances, we're good. You know, okay, but that doesn't mean that I didn't give you a $10 bill. And so in the end, you know, the guy was ready to give it to me. And in the end, I didn't take my money back. And I used it as an opportunity to talk to the manager and just kind of see things from his point of view and to make a little contact there, a friendly contact, and use it as that opportunity. And I chose to take the loss myself. But in that situation, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever been that, where you want the person just to take your word for it because you're an honest person. You know, I worked in Ghana. It was smaller. Okay, it was, this town was probably about the size of Bozeman. I think we were running around 60,000 people, so about, maybe that's Gallatin Valley type size. But I did tend to stand out a little bit there. Kind of like a sore thumb. So people got to know me. But one of the things that I spent years developing was the truthfulness of my word. And just that made an impact on people. Just the fact that I did what I said I was going to do. I had a part of the reason that there's a family in the church there now is because one of the guys had come and he'd done a painting job for me, and I needed it done by a certain time. I said, hey, if you finish it by this time, I will give you a bonus of this much. Well, he got it done by that time. Everything was good. And a couple weeks later, when I got some money, I sent the money over as the bonus. And I sent it through Mr. Boatzing. He delivered it for me. And because he did all the business type stuff there for me. And the guy, this painter, actually called me up and said, did you send this money for this purpose? I said, yes. He said, okay, I didn't want to spend it until I was really sure, because he said, I wasn't expecting to get it. Because he just wasn't, you know, just because I said it, we didn't have a contract or anything. So he just wasn't expecting it. Well, through that, we ended up eventually getting a Bible study set up, and they got immersed and things are good. Well, there are other, just several events through them that I spent that time building up the reputation that if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. In a society that's full of distrust and deception and stealing, and it made a big impact, a huge impact. You know, so you get used to the point, you get used to people taking you at your word. At least that's what you really want to happen. Tom.
You were talking earlier about the days when, you know, just a handshake would seal the deal. And that's really the same thing you're talking about, being honorable. You know, what you say is what you're going to do. You can be trustworthy. You know, one of the things that kind of bugs me when I go get gas now, if I'm going to pay with cash, a lot of places you can't put the gas into your car until you go pay first, because nobody trusts anybody anymore. And one of the great things about us in the church, if we really truly develop the character of Christ and show that we're honorable and that we stand by what we say and that we live by what we believe, that's going to make a huge, huge difference for people, because they'll see that light that should shine forth from us. So it's an unfortunate thing that we live in a world where nobody can trust anybody, but we should be able to trust ourselves, and we definitely should be able to teach others that they can trust us.
Right. You know, and one of the things about America moving that way, and it's something I had to say it all the time in Ghana just because of the situation there, but now I get to say it in America too because it's not a whole lot different, and that is the light shines brightest in the darkness. You know, in a room like this, you switch on a flashlight, you're not really going to notice it. But if you turn out all the lights and it's the middle of the night, you switch on that flashlight, you're really going to see it. So as America tends to get darker and darker and more corrupt, then as Tom's saying, the more that we are like Christ, or in this particular thing that he's talking about, being honorable, that it will shine brighter. It can make a greater impact. You know, in some ways, you know, I guess it's okay that, not okay, don't take that the wrong way, but, you know, that America's kind of headed down that track, because for us who are in Christ, it gives us the opportunity to shine even brighter. You know, some of you guys who are in business, you know that by your business dealings, you make a difference just by the fact that you do business differently. By the honesty that you have and the honorableness that you do have. Now, you got to I'm sure that gives lots of tough challenges when you're dealing with darkness who wants to take advantage of the light. But nonetheless, you have that wisdom as well to deal with those situations. So here Jesus says, let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. And anything beyond these is of evil. Now, some have tried to take that and take it to the, you know, stretch it out. You can't swear in court and, you can't do anything like that. That's not Jesus' point. His point is your character. He's dealing with the internal things. He's not dealing with whether or not you should swear by something, whether or not you should sign a contract. You can't force the world to recognize your honesty. That was one of the things that I realized with this whole blue basket thing is, yeah, I'm an honest guy. And yeah, I told him the truth. But it's not going to do any good to try to force him, force him down there to see my honesty. Doesn't, unless you can absolutely prove it. But generally speaking, you're still going to engage. You're going to have to do those things. You guys are in business. You're still going to do the contracts and stuff. But the thrust is, what's your character like?
When you're drafted into the military, which Tom can talk stained to, you have to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and whatever it was. And they explain to you ahead of time, if you don't step forward and swear to this situation, that you will probably spend about 2 years in jail, and at that time you will be drafted in the Army again anyway. So they explain this to you ahead of time, so it kind of encourages you, even though you're not there voluntarily, to take that step forward and swear that you will do what you have to do. Tom might be able to fill you in a little better, fill in the details along that line.
Is that because he spent the 2 years in prison? Or
2 years in prison.
I made a very quick decision.
You made a quick decision on that one. See, now the fact is, if that's really what Jesus was, if that was his point, that no, you're not supposed to do any swearing like that, if that's really what he was working on, then yeah, it would be worth it. It'd be worth it to say, no, I'm not going to swear. And I'll go to prison. All right. Because there are some things where you're going to have to do that. But that's not what he's working on here. He's not working on that, hey, don't you ever swear. That's his point is, let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Let your character be such that you don't need to swear. Other than the corrupt world that we live in. But that you're, for yourself, you don't have to swear. You don't have to say, yes, I mean, I've known people like that unless they would swear by something, you never knew if they were telling you the truth or they were lying. You know, the whole honest to God. You ever hear that one? Honest to God. This is honest to God truth. Okay, so what was the rest of what you're telling me? That's what Tom Gear and I talked about, the whole habit. Sometimes people say, well, to tell you the truth. Okay, so were you lying to me before? Is that now you're telling the truth? So the point is, he's driving it inward to your character. What is your character like? And is it such that you don't need that? I mean, I did the little jury duty, and I had to, when they were going to ask me all the questions, I had to swear, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and he even put the so help you God in there. And I had no problem with saying, yeah, sure, because even if I didn't swear, I was going to do that. That's what he's talking about. Sure, I'll tell you the truth. Whether you make me swear by it or you don't make me swear by it, I'm going to tell you the truth. Whether you have me sign a contract or whether you don't have me sign a contract, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's the kind of people that he's looking for. Okay, now, any last things on this? Ken?
I can remember this from my youth, and my dad is 82, so he can remember things from his youth. A couple more aphorisms. A man is only as good as his word. What was the other? Man's word is his bond. Just thought I'd throw those in. But this is something I've been thinking about for possibly an opening if I ever get asked to do one again or something like that. For probably the last month. And what you're talking about, having it driven inside, is like huge. Because when I get down and pray,
and I say, it is the Lord God whom I serve. And, or, the Lord God with all my heart, mind, and soul. There's some tremendous implications there. I mean, it's not necessarily vowing this, but you are, a person is making a statement to God.
And it must be from the internal. And that is what's going to drive it and make sure that it continues to stay that way, that you continue to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. One last thing. Flip over to Matthew chapter 12 for a minute. Ken reminded me of this, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. You know, see, every careless word, sometimes you would think, well, that's not really fair that we would be judged by our careless words. But as he puts it there, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So all these vows, these rash statements, all those things that he was talking about, you know, that you saw going on in the Old Testament, those that they were speaking out of what fills the heart. You know, and so we got to make sure as we're being transformed, and we're talking about what's going on the inside, the character on the inside, that you're thinking before you're speaking, or that what's going on the inside is so good that what you're going to say and your character is such that if you say it, you do it. Because by every careless word is what you're going to be judged by, because that's revealing what's really going on the inside. You know, where someone will carelessly say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. You know, I mean, you think about it. If you get involved with people with Bible studies and you're saying, okay, this is the study. Are you going to be there? Yeah. Okay, well, I can't count the number. I did it a lot in Ghana. Here it's usually, I've had a few where you actually show up and the person's not there. You might get a lot of. Here, people, generally speaking, will call you ahead of time, but not always. Some people I know that I need to call before I'm going to head over there because there's a good chance I won't find them there. You know, see, yet, have they said they would? Yes. Okay, so you do have, people do, when you're dealing with people, they do tend to carelessly speak a lot. What we need to make sure is that what we're saying, when we're doing things, that our yes is yes, our no is no. You know, and obviously you're going to have at times some things that you didn't calculate. You know, like Jason was talking about today, about planning out 65% of your time or whatever. You know, obviously there are going to be some things where something comes up. But in those cases, it's not the same as knowing ahead of time and saying, yeah, I'll do this, when you know from the get-go that you're not going to. And that's the thrust of it. But even so, even in those cases where a planning thing or something like that, you still want to do everything you can so that people get the idea and they know that your yes is yes and your no is no. And that you have that honorable character. Okay. Well, then next week we'll pick it up at Matthew 5. Unless anybody has any last things on the false vows. Okay, we'll pick it up in verse 38. We'll start talking about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That one ought to be a lot of fun.